Turning in our studies of God's Word to this Paul's letter to Titus and to this second chapter. This chapter, as we thought last week, tells us about the character of a healthy church. Last week we really stood back from these verses 1 to 10. We notice how it speaks about the importance of doctrine in our lives, and how doctrine brings change into our lives, changes us for the better, transforms God's people. And we thought about how important it is that the watching world sees how the gospel transforms people. This week and the next couple of weeks, we're zooming in on this passage, verses 1 to 10, as Paul deals with different groups and what he says to these different groups, older men, older women, young men, young women, and then to slaves, workers. And this morning I want to address your attention to verses 2 and 3. Let me read those verses again. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. Now, obviously, this passage this morning is going to be addressed to older men and older women. And I think that's a very fitting subject, particularly for our time and our place today. According to the most recent census statistics for Northern Ireland, out of all the districts in Northern Ireland, North Down and Ards has the highest proportion of pensioners. You may be surprised, almost 20% in North Down and Ards, 20% of the population are pensioners. There isn't a place in Northern Ireland with as high a percentage. One in five are 60 or 65 and over. And because of improving health care and standard of living, it's an increasing trend. Uitenhards, Northern Ireland, is becoming increasingly grey. And so it is very appropriate this morning as that we look at what God's design is for older men and older women. I do so very conscious I'm a young pastor with a lot to learn from older men and women, and profoundly thankful for the older men and women in our congregation and the vital role they play. You can actually pick that up from this passage. When Paul's speaking to Titus, he says, Titus, as you look at your congregation, the very first people you need to deal with, the very first people you need to give instruction to are the older people, because they're so crucial. I think there's many people today don't realize that. Many churches don't realize that. I've spoken to a number of pastors who've said, there's not much hope for my church. They're just a bunch of old people. That's a terrible insight into the shallowness of some people's thinking. Surely it's the older people in the congregation that provide the strength and the stability and the wisdom in the congregation. Churches need older people. Churches need grannies and grandas. And the older men and women in a congregation can be a great, great blessing, but only if they walk in the way of righteousness. Gray hair is a crown of glory, but only if it's walking in the path of obedience. So that's why these instructions in Titus chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, they're so very, very important. There's no value in being old if you're not godly. No value in being old if you're not a model and an example for others to follow. And so here the Apostle Paul lays down some very specific instructions to be displayed in the life of the older people in a congregation. These aren't optional. They're not recommendations. They're not negotiable. These are required for older saints. For those who are younger today, this isn't a week off. Well, I will be coming very especially to the younger ones next week. But today, as you look, as you think about the older people in your life, you should be looking for these characteristics as you think of the older people in your life. If you do see these characteristics, you should thank God for them. If you don't, you should pray that you would see them. And by God's grace, if He spares us, this is the kind of person you should want to become, this kind of description. So this morning, it should be the great desire of every Christian to grow old gracefully. Let's look firstly at the older men. Only 2 points this morning, looking older men firstly, then older women. So firstly, older men, verse 2. I'm going to be spending more time on this, on the men, because that way I get less complaints than spending most of my time on the women. So older men, verse 2. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. The big question some of us are asking is, who qualifies as being older men? I might regret going here. Someone has said, you know you're old when the candles cost more than the cake. Helpfully, the Bible does give some light here. Older men is a word, it's used twice elsewhere in the New Testament. Paul uses it in Philemon, just to the right, just over a page. He uses it in Philemon, verse 9, when he refers to himself as Paul the Aged. And it's the same word. And we're fairly sure that he was in his 60s at that time. Another helpful reference is in Luke chapter 1, verse 18. And we're told about the man Zechariah. And he was told that his wife would become pregnant. They would have a son. They would name him. It would be, of course, John the Baptist. But Zechariah says, how do I know this for certain? I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years. And this word for old man is the same as this word here in Titus 2. And so it would seem to imply he's an old man, one who's unable to produce a child, is kind of the reference here. So you're talking that kind of age where having children is no longer the norm. That's what this word means. It's a man at that point in his life. I should say, too, that in classical Greek, some writers use this word to refer to people over 50 years old. So we're talking about that generation of men in the life of the church. Men 50, 60, over, older men. I'm very sorry if you don't think you're an older man. It does seem to be a stereotype in society that older men are grumpy and bitter. Think of TV characters like Victor Meldrew from One Foot in the Grave. We could think of one of our local newspapers with a regular feature from a grumpy old man. This morning we're going to see that God's design doesn't give room for that stereotype. To be a godly older man, you can't be a grumpy older man. You can see in verse 2, Paul speaks firstly to the outward behavior before then the inward. So look at firstly at the outwards behavior. The outward behavior, three characteristics: sober-minded, dignified, and self-controlled. Let's take them in turn. Firstly, sober-minded. The word literally means here, not drunken, to be temperate, to be clear-headed. In other words, moderate, not indulgent, not extravagant. The older man is a man who isn't given to excess. He's generally a moderate person. It means in the very, very first sense, he's not a drunk. He's not addicted to the bottle. But more than that, he's sober-minded. In other words, he's got his priorities right. He's got his priorities right. He's moderate. He isn't indulgent when it comes to decision making. He isn't extravagant. He's sober-minded, sober-spirited when it comes to his priorities, his decision making. Secondly, older men are to be dignified, to be speaking about being serious, worthy of respect. Now, it doesn't mean they have to be boring, gloomy people. It does mean they're not frivolous, not flippant. They are serious in life. They've seen too much and they've felt too much for life to be trivial. They've buried their parents in many cases, most cases. They've perhaps stood in hospital waiting rooms while their loved ones died. Maybe they've watched a child rebel. Maybe they've watched a child turn away from everything they believed in. Maybe they've even watched a child die. This godly older man has seen so much and felt so much and borne so many burdens in life that things are not maybe as funny as they were when they were younger, because life is so serious. Oh, they can laugh, yes, that's a gift. But at the same time, mature Christian men have reached a level of dignity where they're serious. The third thing Paul says about these older men is that they're to be self-controlled. They're to be self-controlled. Men who've learned to control their passions and their instincts. Paul could be speaking specifically here about sexual appetites. We're going to see next week, he does demand younger men and younger women be self-controlled. Those three groups then, younger men, younger women, and older men, called to be sexually self-controlled. Not so much the older women. And could that be, friends, because purity is something that men continue to struggle with all through their lives? And for them, the battle for sexual purity never diminishes, never decreases. Men need to control and keep controlling sinful desires. So you have this outward instruction, the outward behavior, sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled. And then inwardly, there's three positive virtues that he's to display in his inward character. Sound in faith, in love, and in perseverance. This word sound means healthy. It means without weakness, without disease. They're to be strong, healthy in these areas. Firstly, sound in faith. Sound in faith. They're to be healthy in faith. They have a faith that is whole, well-rounded, solid. What does that mean? Well, it means their faith in God is unwavering. The 50, 60, 70, 80 years of life, they've shown them that God can be trusted. The godly man, his faith is sound because a life of believing has taught him that God can be trusted. God has proven himself over the many years, in all the hospitals, in all the funerals, in all the losses and in all the disappointments of life, God has been faithful. And so this man, he's sound in faith. Secondly, he's to be sound in love. He's got a healthy love. He's not a bitter man at all. He's a man who loves. He loves by bearing other people's burdens, thus fulfilling the law of Christ. He's a man who displays a 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. And so on and so on. That's what should be displayed in the older man. And it is a tragedy when older men become unloving and bitter and selfish. The older man in the church desperately needs to be sound in love. And then the third inward thing, sound in steadfastness, perseverance, sound in endurance. In other words, he's been through trials and tribulations, and he's suffered, and he knows, and he's to be a model of patience. He's to be a man who doesn't lose heart in spite of disappointment, in spite of weakness, perhaps in spite of growing loneliness. Though the body gets weaker, his spirit gets stronger. He endures to the very end. He's not the kind of man who's always talking about the good old days. He's the kind of man who lives out Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? It is not wise to ask such questions. Rather, he's a man characterized by grit and determination. And friends, if the church is to have an impact on our world, this is how the older men are to live. Sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound, healthy in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Men who have been shaped and molded over many years by the grace of God. The older men. Secondly, then, the older women. Older women, verse 3. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. I'm afraid to say the age bracket is probably the same here. But do notice how sensitive Paul is. He doesn't say old men and old women. Rather, older men. Older women. That's a little softer. It's a nice touch, isn't it? And he suggests several qualities that should mark out the older women in the church. I want to highlight three things here. Firstly, the behavior she must display. The behavior the older women must display. They are to be reverent in their behavior. The Authorized Version says, behavior that becometh holiness. Paul is calling for older women to live lives of holiness, to live lives appropriate for women who profess to worship God. He's saying that there is an appropriate way to live, and there's a way that isn't appropriate. And if you profess to know Christ, you're to live a life of holiness. And such a woman is described for us in Luke chapter 2. We have a lovely description of a lady called Anna in Luke chapter 2. A lady advanced in years. She was widowed. She's 84 years old. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. An 84-year-old godly woman who was reverent in behavior. So the behavior she must display, a life of holiness. Secondly, a bit more time on this, the temptations she must avoid. The temptations the older woman must avoid. Paul speaks of two temptations that the older women on Crete were prone to. Remember, this Titus was working and preaching on the island of Crete. Two temptations, not to be slanderers and not to be slaves to much wine. These were two temptations they were very susceptible to, these women on Crete. Now, there's something in all of us that takes a perverse delight in talking negatively about other people. There's something in all of us that enjoys a tasty bit of gossip. But here Paul singles out the older woman. He seems to indicate this is a particular problem for them, the temptation to engage in idle chatter, to put others down, to fault find, to spread rumors, and to ruin reputations. He speaks also about this addiction to wine, where a dependence on alcohol in Crete, there was a very real danger that these women could abuse the alcohol that was so readily available. I think Paul is speaking to these older women, particularly the bracket of older women who perhaps have seen their children leave the nest. They now have a little more time in their hands, tempted to engage in things that they really shouldn't be engaging in. Now, for older women this morning, it may not express itself in addiction to alcohol. It may, but it may not. It can certainly express itself in negative talk and gossiping, fault finding, especially maybe with the younger women. Or it can express itself in an excessive materialistic spirit, where our homes become our little kingdoms, and we become obsessed with accumulating the things of the world. Paul saying to these older women, you need to beware this kind of thing. Don't use the time that you now have in your hands to engage in negative types of behavior. Don't do these things, he says. Rather, and then this is a third thing for women, the instruction she must give. There's a positive thing that she can now do with this time. The instruction she must give. So the behavior she must display, the temptation she must avoid. Thirdly, the instruction she must give. Older women have a positive duty at the end of verse 3. Teach what is good. Instead of being negative, instead of complaining, start doing something positive. Start employing those skills that you have acquired over the years. Put them to good use. Use them to teach. You need to be teaching. Teach whom, we ask Paul. Whom should we teach? Verse 4, he goes into verse 4. The young woman. You teach the younger woman. We believe the Bible is very clear. The teaching place of women isn't so much in the church, but First Timothy 2 reminds us, Paul doesn't permit a woman to teach in the church. Rather, the teaching place of an older woman is in the home. Informal teaching, by word, by example, maybe a group of women here, there, wherever, training this generation of godly younger women. And this is not an anti-woman God giving women a grudging permission to just do something. Friends, this is the father of the widow. This is the helper of the helpers, graciously commanding older women to teach, commanding the older women to teach, to train the younger women. And I would encourage our older women to be doing that. The young women in your life are crucial. Crucial. If you have them, you do have them. They may be your daughters, maybe your daughters-in-law. They are most certainly the younger women here in church this morning. And you're to come alongside, gently teaching them how to live, nurturing them in godliness. And there's ways and means, aren't there, of doing this which are natural and warm and loving. I trust you can see the wisdom here. Paul instructing not this young pastor Titus to draw alongside the younger woman, but rather the older woman to draw alongside the younger woman. What a safe, what a sensible command. How many lives, how many churches, how many ministries would have fared better if this command was heeded more. Older women, to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine, but teach what is good. So Paul tells us this morning God's design for older men and older women, very specific characteristics. I would say if you are an older person this morning and you don't see these characteristics in your life, well, you need to seriously question whether yours is a life that is being transformed by the power of the gospel. If you don't see any of these qualities to any degree, you need to question whether the power of the gospel is changing your life. If you don't see them, you should know it's not too late. Jesus Christ is still ready and willing to save completely all those that call on him. That includes older men and older women. Christian friends, this morning, let us thank God for the many godly older men and women in the congregation. I would say to you, if you're an older saint, don't let up. Don't slow down. I've shared this story before. One writer tells a story, a couple who took early retirement from their jobs to live in Florida. Very nice. Early retirement, live in Florida. They cruise on their 30-foot yacht. They collect shells. The writer says, tragically, this was their dream. Imagine coming to the end of your life, your one and only precious God-given life, and the last great work of your life, before you give an account to your Creator, sailing a boat, collecting shells. Picture them, he says, before Christ at the great day of judgment. Look, Lord, see my tan, see my shells. How tragic that would be. So to your older, more seasoned saints this morning, don't be distracted. Don't be wasting this season of your life. As Paul says to the Philippians, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call through Christ Jesus. Forget what lies behind. Press on. Moses was 80 when God called him to lead Israel. 80. He gave many excuses. Age was not one of them. Don't underestimate your capabilities. John Wesley, at 83, he was annoyed he couldn't write for more than 15 hours a day without hurting his eyes. 15 hours a day. At 86, he was ashamed that he couldn't preach for more than twice a day. Twice a day. And then he said, since his 86th birthday, he had to admit there was an increasing tendency to lie in bed until 5:30 a.m. What a terrible decline in character that is. Older saints, you have so much to offer, and having a godly older generation is crucial to the life and witness of any church. And so forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. Amen.